Cape Talk. Fabulous life.
This feature is brought to you by Obsidian Jewellery. Obsidian Jewellery, a grand obsession since 2005. So for Fab Life today, we're going inside the brand new Zeitz Museum of Contemporary African Art, which saw thousands, including myself, flocking through its doors at the weekend. Housed in a converted grain silo at Cape Town's V&A waterfront, it showcases the largest collection of African art. The building itself is, of course, a work of art, and the exhibition space covers 6,000 square metres over 9 floors with around 100 gallery spaces. The museum has as its mission statement that it aims to collect, preserve, research and exhibit 21st century art from Africa and its diaspora, hosts international exhibitions, develop supporting educational and enrichment programs, encourage intercultural understanding and guarantee access for all. So just how is it planning to do that, and what goes into getting a project of this magnitude up and running? Joining me now at CEO Sabine Lemon and Executive Architect Karen Trengrove from Zeitz. Ladies, welcome. Thanks so much for coming in this afternoon.
Hi.
So this has been quite a phenomenal project. How long has it been in process?
Sure. I think Thomas Heatherwick was brought to the grain silos in, I think, 2004-ish, where the idea of having to redevelop it in some exciting way was born, with Ravi Naidu from the Design Indaba. As an actual construction process, I think it was about 2011 when proper planning started and our involvement started in 2013. Construction started in April 2014, so it's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time coming. It looks incredible from outside and in. What were some of the biggest challenges for doing this, bearing in mind that it's a very, very old building and bearing in mind that the building exists already? It wasn't like you were starting from scratch.
Mm. I remember when in 2013 the first images were released of what we were planning to do. There was a lot of comments on social media saying, well, you know, it's beautiful, but there's just no way they're ever going to do it. And I kind of feel like we got there. It looks quite a lot like those initial
does
images.
Does it? That was going to be my next question. Yeah. How true to those original images?
It's pretty close. But obviously, I mean, no one on the team, this had never been done before. So it was a massive workshop experience with all the engineers, with the contractors, with the architects, trying to figure out exactly how to make this happen. I can go into lots of technical details, but
I mean, where does one start with it? I mean, you have the grain silos there, and where does the? I mean, it really does look beautiful. And if you haven't checked it out, please do so. Where does one start?
Well, I think the main architectural concept, the wow moment, came from Heatherwick Studio, where they conceived this idea of cutting this massive atrium out of those existing silos. Because obviously the existing building was an industrial building, doesn't have any public habitable space. So the thinking behind that atrium is to create something that'll draw people in and to create an open public space where people will want to come in and then go on to see artwork in the galleries. And what we've done is, so what they then thought is to take a single grain, blow that up thousands of times to 10 stories high, and we've cut out this atrium in the shape of, I always say, a millipede, out of the cylinders. And what you do when you cut a cylinder is that it creates this amazing honeycomb shape that is sort of unexpected, an incredible sculptural moment.
I mean, it's likely to become iconic, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think it possibly is already, judging from what we've seen on social media. But I think what's quite amazing, Karim, what you and Heatherwick have created there is that cathedral-like moment when you walk in and people, often to get to a museum, you know, you've taken public transport, you've had to persuade people to come with you or not, whatever, it's taken a while to get there. So you walk in and you just stand in awe of this beautiful atrium with its cathedral-like qualities, light pouring in from the sky, through the skylights, and just a moment to pause and gather yourself and say, right, I'm now in this museum and I'm going to be exploring it, which I think is what plays so well. And you literally, over the weekend, we watched thousands of people stand and stop and gape. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I even saw some people shed tears at the beauty of it. So congratulations.
Congratulations. Can you talk a bit more about some of the challenges? I mean, you say you started building in
2014.
In April 2014.
Yeah. I think one of the things people don't necessarily realize is obviously initially we had these 42 5-meter diameter cylinders, 32 meters tall, and they were individual little bins. You couldn't actually get from one to the other. So first we had to cut a whole series of sort of, it ended up being this rabbit warren just to be able to navigate around these cylinders. And then we had the shape was determined by Heatherwick Studio. They gave us a 3D model, from which we then plotted hundreds of GPS points along the ellipses which create the atrium. I realize what I'm saying now is a bit abstract if you haven't actually seen what it looks like. It's such a foreign idea. But we then had to, in this individual silo, surveyors had to plot these hundreds of GPS points, and then we poured concrete in that shape, supporting concrete, and then cut away all the historic concrete in what is currently the void, to take that away to form the atrium in that way. So that was a very technical, highly sophisticated sequencing also to keep everybody working in there safe and to be able to remove all that rubble out of the building, because we haven't really punctured the existing facade. There's only a few of those punctures. So to get all those masses and masses and masses of rubble out is quite a feat as well.
Yeah. We've had a message in on the SMS line. Hi, SJ. I know what MOCAR stands for, but what is Zeitz? What does the name mean?
So Jochen Zeitz is the name of one of the co-founders of the project. He is the ex-CEO of Puma, and he started collecting contemporary art from Africa about 10 years ago and was looking for a place to house that collection. So hence the Zeitz Mocha. I always say it's not a cup of coffee, it's not mocha,
sounds
it's mocha.
Like it. Mocha.
Museum of Contemporary Art Africa, yeah.
Now, it is a Museum of Contemporary Art for Africa. How have you made sure, or how do you plan to ensure, that we are looking, that what we're seeing in the museum is African, or is what we look at as Africans, rather than a Western perspective of Africa?
So that's really a question for the curatorial team. That's their job, and that's what they spend their time researching and planning on. As the chief operations officer, my job is to ensure that people are able to come in and have a look at the art. But I know the curatorial team is very focused on the fact that this is a story by Africans, for Africans, and from Africa, and that the art represents contemporary art from Africa, north to south, east to west, as well as their diaspora.
Yeah. I will come back to you in just a second. I just wanted to ask, Karine, when it comes to using a space or creating a space that is to be used for art, because it's one thing, obviously there's the Silos Hotel there, which is a hotel, and that's what one part of the space is being used for. What are some of the considerations that you have to think about when creating a space for art? Because I'm thinking, when I was in the UK last year and I went to the Tate Modern, I mean, that's a fantastic space. Mm. But what are the considerations? Mm. But particularly for me, who is not particularly well-versed in art, I know art from a perspective of that looks nice, that doesn't look nice, this moves me, this doesn't move me. But it's brilliantly created.
The architecture in the lobbies and the public spaces is a very sculptural space, and it creates opportunities for site-specific art, so in the atrium and in the existing tunnels. Those are all areas that they're using to exhibit art, but it is very specific to that context. What we then did in the gallery spaces, it's complete juxtaposition, because the actual gallery exhibition spaces are these white box spaces where we don't want you to be overwhelmed by the architecture in those spaces. It's grey floors, grey ceilings, white walls, where you end up focusing on the art. So there's no visual distraction away from the art. Then we also have technically we've got two floors of A-grade climate and temperature humidity control, which allows the museum to be able to exhibit exhibitions from elsewhere that we don't have those facilities in South Africa at the moment, I believe. So that's quite advanced facilities that we've brought to Cape Town and to South Africa.
Yeah.
Then there's all kinds of details about raised floors and ventilation systems and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know. Yes, very specific lighting also, that it was also driven by Market Seer, the curator. He had quite specific prerequisites for the actual exhibition spaces.
Yeah, sure. I'm joined in studio this afternoon by Karen Trengove, Executive Architect, and Sabine Lehmann, Chief Operations Officer at Zeitz Museum of Contemporary.
I'm introduced as the executive architect, which we are.
Yes.
That is absolutely correct. But we were an association of three different architecture companies. And I just want to name them because often we always talk about Heatherwick Studio.
Yes.
And the local guys who were involved was Fanamava Mashevsky Architects, Rick Brown and Associates, and Jacobs Parker. And together we formed the local association that then produced the building.
How does that come about then as a team of architects?
It was put together by the V&A. We ended up having a satellite office at the clock tower. So I'm actually from Fanamava Mashevsky Architects. We were involved in the Alan Gray building initially, which started in 2011. So we set up the satellite office there at the time. And then that just grew and expanded to also include all the teams from the grain silo and all the buildings in the precinct.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. If you have a question for either Karen or Sabine, please do get in touch with us at 021-446-0567. Perhaps you were there at the weekend, as I was, pushing through the crowds. It would be fascinating to see what your thoughts are on the Zeitz Museum. We've had an SMS in. It might be a dumb question, but most places, this is a really good question, but most places where art is housed are called galleries. Why are they calling it a museum?
Well, from what I understand, a museum, much like the Tate Modern or the Museum of Modern Art in New York, for now, how I've always understood is that a museum is a place that displays art. Galleries are often places that sells art. Funnily enough, the spaces within the museum are referred to as galleries.
Yeah.
So you come to the Museum of Contemporary Art Africa, and then we direct you to the galleries on floor two.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, absolutely. The long-term vision for the museum is what?
Well, as you mentioned in your intro, it's really to both present contemporary art from Africa in its diaspora, to research it, to preserve it, and to also ensure that we train young curators to go out into the world and do their job. There's not much opportunity for curators to train in South Africa at the moment, and we have 25 sponsored curatorial positions for young curators to actually be part of this program. We also have a large educational program that will ensure that school children can come through, that ensure there's adult education programs starting, holiday programs, that sort of thing. So the educational aspect of the museum will be a very, very large part of the museum. It's really our next big focus now that we've got the museum open.
And when you talk about that educational aspect, at the weekend when I was there, I have to say, although it was absolutely packed, it's still what I would refer to as quite an exclusive space. In my experience, I in fact had quite an unpleasant experience there, if I'm honest with you, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. But how will you avoid it being that exclusive space and what other people might call very white spaces?
Well, that's exactly what we've got to work on very deeply and really focus on. I find that interesting that you say that, because on the weekend I noticed that the queues were very, very multiracial and from very, very different parts of the country, and it was absolutely beautiful to see so many people dressed up for the occasion and Mzansi rainbow colors and some in traditional wear and some not. So, but that is absolutely our focus, is that this has to be something that everybody feels part of. And part of a museum's mission is really to foster exactly that, is conversations, changing our lenses, understanding our lenses, and ensuring that art can be part of the way that we foster these conversations to get to know each other and ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting enough, one person walked out of the museum, pulled me aside and said, there's a whole lot of healing going on in this building, which was amazing to hear.
That is so interesting. Let me briefly tell you about my experience. I was walking through and I'm killing myself now because I can't remember the name of the artist, but there was a beautiful photography piece regarding African-American slavery. As I was looking at it, a woman behind me said, I wish they would just get over apartheid.
Oh, my word. Well, that's the conversations that we need to have.
The conversation that we then the conversation that we then had was we'll go to in a minute, but we'll take some ads. We'll pay some bill first, and then we'll have another chat on this conversation.
Your home is a precious and unfolding story. If only people.
Cape Talk, fabulous life.
So back to Zeitz Mocha, and I'm joined in studio by Karin Trengrove and Sabine Lehmann from the Zeitz Museum. Did you go at the weekend? What did you think? So, ladies, before the ad break, I was just telling you about a rather strange conversation that I had, which kind of follows on from what we were talking about before about conversations. So as I was looking at this piece of art from which was to do with slavery and was from an African-American artist, a woman behind me said very loudly, "I wish they could just get over apartheid." And I thought I could either stay quiet or I could not, and I wasn't feeling particularly quiet that day, so we ended up having a 10-minute conversation. Hello, Siobhan. if you're listening in, I did say that I would mention our conversation. And what started out as a quite an upsetting conversation became very interesting. And I think art has the power to do that. Mm. And while I left feeling quite upset that I'd had this conversation with this woman who kept talking about them and us and they, etc., then it was very much, as you've just mentioned, it made me realise that the spaces that we're creating often lead to these conversations. And as you just said to me in the break, rather having these conversations in the open than at dinner parties.
At private dinner parties private where you're not present.
Where
that's
I'm not
exactly
present.
It. So in a way, the spaces in the museum created something that perhaps you didn't want to experience on that day, but it's exactly that. It's creating conversations with each other, creating conversations with ourselves and about ourselves. And yeah, you know, sometimes provocative, sometimes something that perhaps you didn't find provocative that somebody else did, and there's a lot of discussion around these spaces creating cultural conversations to better understand ourselves and the lenses that we carry around in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I just heard, I think Mark Atsia the other day just described the museum as a safe place to have difficult conversations. Mm. And so there will be confrontations, but it's good that we are having them in a safe space
to have difficult conversations. Yeah. That's exactly how I would describe my experience at the weekend. And thank you so much for that. Just tell us a little bit more about, in terms of the future, because we've all rushed there this weekend. But now what?
Now what is that the museum's open and everybody's welcome. We're so looking forward to seeing repeat visitors and new people that haven't been yet, obviously tourists as well. It was interesting. I actually met some people on Monday that said they'd come every single day of the weekend, and each time they'd spent more than 2 hours in the museum. So there's plenty
easily.
To see.
There's no way you can see it in a day.
There'll be ever-changing exhibitions, literally on a three-weekly to monthly basis. So it will be ever-changing. There'll be performance art. There'll be conversation pieces. There'll be education programs. So really, for those who felt they've missed out on the Heritage Weekend, which was free to all, just to make a note that every single Wednesday is free from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. for Africans. Our first Friday of the month will be half price.
For all Africans?
For all Africans. It's free every single Wednesday of the year.
Even those from Nambia, Donald Trump.
Even
those from Nambia will be able to come.
Especially
how
those
lovely.
From Nambia.
Yeah, how glorious, because we don't have many Nambian visitors.
Exactly, from 10 to 1, 10 in the morning to 1 in the one at 1 just after lunch. And then the first Friday is a half price after work from 4 to 9. Museum night on the 25th of October will be free. Children under 18 are always free.
Hurrah!
Always free. And then we've also made sure that our membership card is hopefully relatively accessible, and that's 250 rand for the year. Come as often as you like, and if you're a pensioner over 60, it's 185 rand.
Fabulous stuff, ladies. It's been so you wanted to add?
No, I was going to say the membership gives you access every day of the year, and discounts in the shop and discounts in the restaurant. And as you say, I think you'll probably want to come more than once. There's just so much to see, and it's ever-changing.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a restaurant. I must have skipped past that, which is very unlike me. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Absolutely fascinating stuff. It was great to pop down there myself to find out more about Zeitz Mocha. You can go to the website, which is
www.zeitzmocha.museum.
I must start saying mocha and... and not mocha. Right, thank you ever so much.